brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Yes, it's sippin' time again, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Oh, and at 1 a.m. now.
Well, thanks to daylight savings time,
exactly.
It's both.
That's
except standard. In Russia.
Daylight, it's, we're at regular time.
Yeah.
Standard.
Moving on up.
But you know what? I would give us four. I would give us the 4 a.m. slot, too. I think we're good in 4 a.m.
I would take 4 a.m.
Yeah, I think most people are asleep by then, so I think we can be good.
Yeah. We could do anything we want. No one would notice then. Brent, well, it's not like he wears pants now, but nobody would give him crap about wearing pants then either.
I don't wear pants, right. So.
Yeah, I was going to say sweet dreams. We're probably going to give people nightmares if they're listening
sweet
to
nightmares.
Yeah.
Well, sweet nightmares.
The thought of Brent with no pants? Yeah. Lord have mercy.
All right, fine, be that way.
Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
Is this why you had me wear a kilt today? What's going on?
Well, it's somewhat like pants. At least it covers up your junk. And good old boy Justin.
Good morning, Bob. Good to be here.
And good old boy Army.
Bob, thanks for having me. I'll be taking the bearskin rug tonight. I'm not leaving. This is the best day ever.
Wow. Whoa. That's the most positive things ever come out of him in his entire life. Yeah. Holy cow. Somebody better check him. I think he's got COVID. He's going crazy.
That second wedding day pales in comparison.
Well, yeah.
It's because he's spending his time with us.
It's definitely better than that first one.
So, I'm going to talk about that one.
I had an uncle that got captured in Vietnam, put in a tiger cage. He had a better time than you did in the first one. So, well...
This is some good whiskey here, Bob. Thank you for having us.
So, me and Brent are members of the Bourbon Mafia. The Bourbon Mafia is a nonprofit organization composed of bourbon enthusiasts and industry professionals with representation in 8 states and 2 continents. Our members combine a love of bourbon with a passion for charitable work. The group uses their love of our native spirit to raise money for local and national charities through rare bottle auctions and other themed events.
Are you guys banned in Alabama still?
Mm-hmm.
No, we did Mafia. You have.
We just don't go there because, well, you know, we got
tide.
We got taste. Oof. You can check us out at the Bourbon Mafia on Facebook, and our show is also sponsored in part by the Florida Whiskey Society. To find out more about the society and their events, if we ever start having them again once this damn COVID's gone, you can check us out at ftlws.com. And lastly, our show is sponsored in part by Fine Spirits in Cooper City, Florida, home of the Enigmatic Machine, serving great wines, whiskeys, and other spirits by the glass. You can find them at finespirits.net and
facebook.com/finespirits and Instagram.com/finespirits or Instagram.com.
Thank you, Don Pardo. And with that, you'll receive some Zeebrick wall covering, a fur from Dickory Dicker in Beverly Hills.
The San Francisco
treat. No, a gift certificate from the Spiegel Catalog, Chicago, Illinois, 60609.
Jesus.
So our SIP segments are all about, our SIP segments are all about distilled spirits, tea, coffee, wine, beer, and anything else that you can drink. And we are on the range today of... it's a mix and mash of some really amazingly good
whiskeys. These are all barley spirits, though. These are not your bourbons. These are in the vein of Scotch, but not all from Scotland.
A lot of these are new releases into the market. I hesitate to call them fall releases like we do with the fall bourbon release show, but a lot of these are new releases of products. So we have, first off, Nika Days from the Nika Distillery in Japan. We've got Paul John Nirvana from our friends over in Goa, India. From Glenmorangie, we have A Tale of Cake. From Balvenie, we have the Tun 1509, batch number 7. And from Glendronach, we have the Kingsman Edition 1989 vintage. And from Ardbeg, we have the Trayvon, batch number 2, 19-year-old. And the Ardbeg Wee Beastie. So Brent is
Thank you, Ardbeg.
I'm excited.
Brent is dead. I love this now. This is my day.
Brent, I'm just dying to get into that one.
It's nothing he loves more than a lovely peaty scotch. Yes. So we're going to have Justin tell us all about our SIPs ratings. So take
this
it away.
This is not going to be good. I mean, Sean Connery passed away recently, and you're having Justin do the SIPs ratings.
Yeah.
It's not going to be good.
No, probably this not.
But I'm not doing it as Sean Connery.
Right, thank God.
He's doing it as Lucky the Leprechaun.
I'm Angus.
He's going to hide our green clovers from blue stars. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Let's do those SIPs ratings.
You sure?
Let's do it. Okay. I'm ready.
Yeah, we got nothing to lose. Go ahead.
Justin, take it away.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out me mouth.
Lord. To Scotland, I apologize. Water.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Oh, my God.
Nice?
Oh, isn't that nice?
Hell? Oh, my God.
He almost forgot to do the accent there.
Yeah.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Interesting.
No, sorry. That was wrong.
Okay, not buying it.
Not even close.
Yep.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
No.
That was Lucky Charms.
Yep. Do this last one as Sean Connery.
Sean Connery,
resurrect him because he might.
Okay.
Let's do this for 007.
Yeah.
Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good. Sorry, Sean.
You can't die twice from that. So
for the first time in a couple of days, I'm actually happy that he is gone because he didn't have to hear that. Lord have mercy. All right. Well, moving on. So we've got a pretty packed schedule of whiskeys here with seven of them. So we're going to get right into it. And we're going to have Harm tell us about our first whiskey.
Thank you, Bob. Our first whiskey comes from the Nikka Distilling Company in Japan. Nikka Days is 80 proof, non-age statement, the newest release from the famous Japanese house. Nikka Days was designed as a daily drinker that highlights the bright side of whiskey. The blend is structured by the mellow and smooth coffee grain whiskey and the aromatic non-peated Miyagikyo malts, along with a touch of coffee malt whiskey and the Yoichi malt, which has a hint of peat to it, to enhance the bright sweetness with a rich body. And the packaging, I don't know if we have the bottle around here.
Yeah, it's over there.
It's beautiful. It's just a sunshiny package. It's got this bright yellow top, clear label. The whiskey is a bright sunshiny gold. And the day we got this whiskey in the store, I had to take a picture of it for the Instagram account. Follow us on Instagram at instagram.com/finespirits. Anyway, and it looks promising, and it really it is just as promising as it looks. It's fresh and fruity and floral and tons of citrus and pears. First, you think you smell the citrus, and then it comes out just pears and pears and just a gorgeous floral note. I cannot get enough of this thing. It's light, and then the palate. Give it a chew. It's just lithe. It dances on the tongue. You can taste the cereal. You can taste those coffee malt notes in the back. But mostly, it's the grain whiskey, the sweetness, the front. Tons of vanilla. Tons of pears. They say that there's going to be peat here, but I really don't get much peat at all. If it's at the finish, it's on the very end. It's light. It's a wonderful drink. Make some highballs with this. I mean, I could drink it all day long. Put a big old, you know, those nice big. Those round ice balls, you know, yeah. one of those big round balls, and just pour this on there. Bob, what do you want to think about this?
Yeah, just here? A nice spring day. I mean, this reminds you of walking through a nice field of flowers on a beautiful spring day with a blue sky, and it's so bright, it's so well put together, and so refreshing. I mean, I absolutely love this.
I generally don't go in for blended whiskey, but this is one that I would drink, definitely.
Yeah, well, It's not blended whiskey per se. I mean, it's most
it's
of
blended. It's, well, this is the, you've got a coffee grain, which yeah. is, so the coffee refers to the yeah. type of still.
Yeah.
So it's a grain whiskey and a malt whiskey.
Yeah.
So
but it's not like, but it's not a blended whiskey like we think, where you're taking whiskey from various other distilleries owned by various other entities.
Yeah.
And blending them together. These are all in-house. No,
those would be yeah. blend. Those would be you can do blended yeah, malt. You can do yeah. blended grain. You can do
yeah.
So grain and malt is still a blended whiskey.
But it's. They've done such an amazing job blending this.
Yeah, but it's all from Nika, so it's yeah. a single.
It's just, I mean, their tasting notes are just so on white flowers, orange blossoms, pear, citrus.
But no, these are the same notes before I read mm-hmm. theirs that I had the first time I tasted mm-hmm. this a couple months ago when it came out. This is, I mean, I opened the first day that this came to the store, we opened yeah. it right away.
This is a perfect whiskey to give to somebody who's new to malt whiskey. Because if you don't like this, you're hopeless.
Well, that's the one thing is that this is different than
speaking of people who don't like this.
No, right? But this is not a Scotch though.
It's not a bourbon, which is your wheelhouse,
right?
So,
but I mean, this is how do you think? You know, they have it's fresh and fruity with flowers, florals, and you have the cereal notes that come through on the palate and stuff. So it's like almost like a fruity Cheerios. You know, with a little bit of smoke on it, you know, but not smoke.
I
much,
don't taste
not,
the smoke. No, maybe on the very, very end.
You don't taste the smoke at all. I got a little bit of a hint of it on the nose, you know, but it's very pleasant. I mean, it's the bottle presentation is nice. It's a bright yellow, and it's beautiful. This is actually really nice to drink. And I don't know what that would make a good cocktail. I think it would make more of drinking it straight, like on a big ice ball. Yeah.
Justin, what do you think?
I would pour this on my Lucky Charms. No, it's very, very good. Kind of tastes like Lucky Charms with melon. Yeah, it's very approachable.
Yeah, I didn't think about the melon, but I think you're right about that. Mm-hmm. The melon's there.
Yeah, there's definitely a muskmelon note to this on top of the citrusy, you know, they sort of blend in
yep.
Sort of on the top note on the top of the palate. But
so no Lucky Charms, but what else? What do you think?
Well, I got the Lucky Charms, but that's yeah. okay. It was very, very pleasant.
Yeah.
It really was.
You know, we can dress him up.
Can't take him out. Can't take him to Japan.
So for Nika Days, 4 sips. Well done. Classified.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we just finished discussing the new release from Nika Days. I gave that 4 sips. Fantastic whiskey. Grab one if you find one on the shelf. And we're moving on to our next one. We're going to have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. This next one is Paul John Nirvana. It's 80 proof. That's 40% ABV. It's non-age stated, but people say it's about 3 years. It's ex-bourbon cast, second and third fill. We have reviewed quite a few of the whiskeys from Paul John over the years. This distillery is located on the coast of Goa, India, has been setting the whiskey world on fire since their first release. I mean, they put a lot of good stuff. You know, it's one of these ones that I'm, and you say, oh, we're going to be tasting Paul John. I'm like always looking forward to it. So this newest release from Paul John is called Nirvana. It was created to answer the call for mixologists for a more affordable entry for use in the bar. And I'm going to go back to that in a bit after the tasting notes and stuff. But the color of this is a very light, light yellow, and that's from, you know, second and third fill casks. You're not going to get a lot of color out of it, and that shows on this. There's nice, you got some nice caramel and bourbon notes on it, a little bit of a fruitiness to it on the nose, on the palate. just very light, very subtle, little bit of this mouthfeel of like a honey mouthfeel and stuff. It's just beautiful. It's Bond. Nice, soft, and sweet. And
James
the
Bond.
Found it.
Oh.
Been working on a computer for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, some you get some nice vanillas out of it that come, you know, that's taken away from the bourbon barrels that come out in this, and it's beautiful. It's just a nice, refreshing, light, as we mentioned from the last one, that was a refreshing one. Well, this one is different, a whole different palette, you know, lightness. But I don't know why they would think this would be used for a mixer, because I think that anything that they mix it with, I was talking earlier, that it would probably overpower this whiskey. You know, I think if you're mixing it, unless you mix it with like a, you know, like a soda or something
it's
like
a,
that.
It's a heavier style than the Nika's Days, in that you've got more of that cereal note to it. This is like, at first I thought, is that oatmeal? Am I smelling fresh oatmeal? Like, not before you cook it. And this is barley grain. This is just a, and this, we talked about before, if you listen to our John Paul shows, they use 6-row barley rather than 2-row barley that they use in Scotland, which gives it a more citrusy zest to the nose. But this is more like a raw barley.
It's very nice, you know, but that's why I say that.
But I think that would mix well. I think we need to make some cocktails tonight.
Well, no, but I think it would be fine just like it is. I mean, why would you want to? I think unless you're putting it with mixing it like a soda, I think you're going to overpower the flavors of this, well, see, which I think are nice.
It's like, think of this. That's coming from Goa, India, South India, on the Indian Ocean. Freaking hot, dude.
Yeah.
So
it's like tropical.
You're drinking this on the.
Drinking next to the pool.
You're having a highball. This is one part whiskey, four parts club soda with ice.
Yeah.
This is day drinker by the pool or by the ocean.
Yeah. I can see it like that, you know. So nice, mellow.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't overpower it.
Maybe one dash of bitters, but you don't even need that.
You're not mixing this with Dr. Pepper, dude.
No. Maybe a club soda and a little bit of a dash
high,
of
highball.
A dash
highball,
of lime.
Highball.
But I
dash
like
of lime.
It is. And, it's nice.
It's fine.
But I'd rather drink the Nika Days neat, but this I would put in the highball.
But I think it's limited to what you can use it for as far as what the mixologists, like they're a lot of these guys are making some nice fancy drinks and stuff.
Let's give it to a mixologist and see.
Yeah, well, I guess that's why they made it. See what can happen with it. Justin?
I agree with Brent. I would love to see what a good mixologist could do with this.
That's what I said. No, he said mixologists couldn't do anything. I challenged him to do something. Brent denies them.
I appreciate the recap. And
what do you think about what's your tasting note, Justin? What's your taste?
So I got pears and apples on the nose, mm-hmm. along with the caramel bourbon.
Not the cereal note? That stuck out to me.
You know, there's something in there, but I don't really know if I would classify it as cereal. I would give it more pear.
Yeah.
And on the palate, it's like nice and sweet. I probably mix this with something like hot sauce. As part
what?
Of it.
What hot sauce?
What the hell? He thinks Indians only eat hot food. No. When we say spice, man, there's like 500 spices we use.
I know that. I'm just saying if I was going to make a drink with this, it would be like some kind of like a habanero-based alcohol.
What was that sound effect? I didn't even hear it.
Yeah, hold on.
What makes eccentric performance?
Monty Python. Come on.
I'll make it. Y'all blow your all mind. You'll see.
Lord have mercy.
Bob, what did you think?
Lovely, light, refreshing, very sweet, but with a little bit of a salty edge to it. Really well made. I think this will be a big seller. I think that this would make a fantastic highball. I think they're probably selling the heck out of this in Japan right now. Great whiskey.
And, I can't wait to get it in the store.
And I'm not surprised because, I mean, when Paul John first, I mean, they had just gotten to the U.S. and really had just set up their first office and hired their first employee when I called them and said, hey, I heard about this amazing whiskey. Could we get some from our show? And it took them a little while to even get it to us because they didn't have any in the States yet. So we've been doing Paul John since they literally hit the U.S. shores, and everything we've had from them has always been great. I mean, they haven't had a clunker yet, so I'm not surprised. And even though it's designed to be a, you know, a less expensive, you know, whiskey, still the quality's there. I mean, yeah. You know,
I love the bottle. I love this bottle too. You know, it's yeah. just.
I mean, it's not, don't get me wrong. It's certainly not their higher end ones, you know, I mean, but for the money, yeah, great, great everyday drinker. I mean, great value. Can't beat it. So we're going to be rating the Paul John Nirvana 3 Sips.
Interesting.
Well done, guys. So moving on to our next one, we're going to have Justin tell us about that.
Glenmorangie, A Tale of Cake.
Glenmorangie.
A Tale of Cake.
You want me to find that Connery clip again? Maybe he'll like. Lord have mercy.
92 proof and 46% alcohol by volume. One day, Glenmorangie's director of director of whiskey creation, Dr. Bill Lumsen, found himself musing over how some of his moist. Sorry.
No, I was giving him making faces because I was going to chime in with Dr. Bill. Go ahead.
Okay. So he was musing over his most joyful memories and figured out they came from cake, from the pineapple upside down cake his daughter made for his birthday to baking with his granny in her kitchen. Dr. Bill created A Tale of Cake to conjure the magic of a cake moment. Finishing his favorite Glenmorangie single malt.
He still can't get it.
In the finest Tokaji dessert wine cask.
Tokai.
Hey.
It's spelled Tokaji, I know, but come on, you should
Tokai.
Know. Tokai. You should know you're Bulgarian.
Oh, I know my Bulgarian, all right. So on the nose, I got vanilla cake, frosting, light caramel, and mango. On the palate, it was sweet, it was complex. And there was honey, white chocolate, peach, pear, mango, a little bit of oak. And the finish was light. This was like a beautiful dessert in a spirit. What did you think, Brent?
This is very nice. You know, so when you think of something of a cake, a tale of cake, you know, you figure, this better come through. This better remind me of a cake. And this really does remind you of a cake. I mean, you know, when on the palate,
several cakes,
dude. What's that?
This is several cakes. This is
yeah. Right. Well,
this is walking by a bakery and seeing all the different ones and smelling.
I mean, the tasting notes that come with this is like 18 lines of tasting notes of what it tastes like.
But I don't think that's bad because as you approach this,
Every time you have a drink of it, yeah. You get something else. You pick up something else, you know. But because I got the pear, the peach, the mango, the almond, and the vanilla, like right off the bat, like oh, and just like a beautiful cake. And then you go back again and you pick up something else. You pick up a little bit of white chocolate, or you'll pick up some peach, or you know, you'll pick up one of the flowers or the apricot or something. But it all comes back to reminding you when you think about it from his tale of this, of the cake that he used to, you know, that he used to enjoy. And so the name of it.
Who doesn't like cake?
Right, exactly.
Let them eat cake.
Exactly. So it comes back to it and it actually matches the you know, the flavor of this actually matches what the name says. And that doesn't happen too often when
you're
looking at
six numbers away from burning this house to the ground, moving to Scotland, going to work for Dr. Bill for free and learning how to make my own scotch. And when I do, I'm going to have Bob's Tale of Ice Cream Cake. I'm going to make a scotch that tastes like Carvel with crunchies in it.
Ooh.
One time I was just five
miles away. Humpy the Whale?
Yeah. Humpy the Pumpkin. Humpy the Pumpkin. Yeah.
But this is beautiful. This is very nice. This is very enjoyable.
I am so surprised to hear you about you know, I shouldn't be surprised. So you've actually liked a few scotches in the past now.
No.
I think we may turn it.
Our boy is making has made great strides in the last couple
bottle,
of years.
Buy a bottle, Bob? No. Brent, sorry.
No, but if he was here and I offered him one and he would drink it and more often.
And that's not because I would drink anything.
More than that, it's not, it's not even so much.
Let's clarify that.
But here's the thing. It's not even so much that he'll drink anything, which he will. Literally anything, like raisin. Made jailhouse hooch, anything with alcohol, Sterno. But he's gotten to the point where, I mean, he's got some really insightful comments on some scotches that 3-4 years ago, you would have never thought you could get him to drink. So our boy has come a long way.
Apparently you can teach this old dog some new tricks.
I'm proud of him. Yeah, this is fantastic. And this is exactly what I expect from Dr. Bill. You know, he's always got surprises. He's always got something up his sleeve. And like Brent said, everything in this, the 500 flavors that you get when you put them all together, reminds you of cake.
This is the 11th edition, private edition of release. It's the 11th year they've done this private edition release, and I think they've done a great job.
The one thing this doesn't have that I miss is a bourbon finish. No, it doesn't have the finish. Like you get it all of it, and then it goes away.
It's not a real long finish. Okay.
You found the Achilles heel, and I agree with you.
Yeah,
100%.
But cake doesn't have a long finish either. If you think about it,
not around this house. It doesn't trust me on that one.
Right.
You know, but I mean,
spoon and a chocolate cake.
It makes you go back and get some more, and then you get some more flavors out of it, and then
just like cake.
This whiskey is
I eat it till it's gone.
I could smell this all night. I could just sit around and smell this all night. And literally, I've opened. I bought probably the most in South Florida to sell this stuff. I bought tons of it, and I've probably drank a case with my friends since we've got this in already.
Well, here's the other thing. Can you think of a single whiskey out there that's aged in a Tokai wine cask?
No.
Neither can I. So, I mean, God bless him for even thinking of that.
What's Tokai wine taste like?
Bob,
I'll let Harmeet explain it, but it is graded in various numbers.
The sweetness.
From drier to sweeter. Putaños, I believe.
It's petunias.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's spelled Puttanyos.
Yeah.
Petunias. So it's petunias. They literally pictures of petunias. One petunia to seven petunias.
And drier to sweeter. So, and it's
Hungarian, not Bulgarian.
It's Hungarian. It's a fantastic wine with a really long history. You can get some, really older, amazing stuff. It kind of disappeared when the Iron Curtain hit.
Yeah, it's basically Eastern Europeans' version of Sauternes wine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's freaking gorgeous.
Yeah.
So
it's some of the best wine you'll ever have. If you like a sweet wine, oh my gosh. I mean, just life-alteringly good.
Yeah, you can. And they're less expensive than Sauternes too. You don't have to spend $1,000 on a bottle like a bottle of Chateau Decamp. Well,
especially back when the Soviets were running things, it was $3. You know, you could buy a car for two.
You can buy a good bottle of Tokai for $100. I mean, an amazing bottle of Tokai. But or maybe $200, I guess, now these days. But it's a lot cheaper version. And so that all that raisinated fruit gets into this. This is what's giving it layers and layers of flavor. And, of course, you know, Glenmorangie has their light. Their
same
light
reason spirit. Like why I love a PX Sherry. You finish, you know, it's more raisinated. It's got more of the grape character to it.
But that's much more oxidized. This is fresher.
Exactly what he said. But, you know, similar concept. So it's, it's one I would have never even considered out of my head. I can't think of a single whiskey out there that is done in a Tokai wine cask. So maybe there was somebody that did it before, but he's done a great job as usual.
Dr. Bill.
But Harm, is it live? Yeah.
So
is it live?
Is it live?
It is live
on the tongue.
Okay.
It dances.
Well, thank you, Dr. Bill. And we're going to be rating the Glenmorangie. Like an orange. Yeah, schmuck. The Glenmorangie Tale of Cake. We're going to be rating a well-deserved 4 sips.
I think if it had a longer finish,
it would have been a 5 out of the park. Absolutely, I think he's right. I think it's like cake. I think he made it short on purpose because you like keep cake. Going back.
Right.
Let me. You ever have cake with a long finish? No. No. If you had a cake with a long finish, you'd think something's wrong with this.
Right.
Let me drink cake.
All right. So moving on to our next one. Oh, sweet.
This is you, Bob. Sweet you take Lord. Care of this one.
Oh, wow. I have such a soft spot in my heart for Balvenie. It's one of my favorites. I love Glenmorangie. I love Balvenie. And we have with us today the Balvenie Tun 1509 Batch 7. It's 104.8 proof, 52.4% ABV. This one runs around $400 to $500 depending on your local. The 1509 ton is an annual release, with each bottling being made up of specially selected casks, which are married together for several months in the distillery's ton number 1509, which is located in the famous Warehouse 24 at Balvenie Distillery. This is the seventh release of the ton, and it was made using whiskey from 21 casks. That's it, 21 casks, handpicked by Balvenie's malt master, David Stewart, who is an absolute legend in the Scotch community. This included 10 sherry butts, 7 sherry hogsheads, and 4 American oak barrels. They were all married together for 3 months before bottling. So let's get into it.
Just smell it.
It's just, yeah, it's one of those ones I can just sit here and smell. I don't even need to.
Now, first describe this color, Bob.
Sort of a pale bronze, a little bit of burnished copper along the edge. Got a beautiful glow to it. It's got some wonderful oak, but dried fruit, dried tropical fruits. Oh, a little hint of ginger just in the tip of the nose, and just layer and layer and layer of brown sugar and molasses and cane syrup. Just so sweet in the nose. On the palate, candied orange peel. It's just a slight hint of lemon. Honeycomb, brown sugar. A little toasted hazelnut. The nuttiness comes out on the exhale, on the finish more. Just the most beautiful underlayment of baking spice. Not baking spice way up in your face, but just this beautiful layer underneath. And it's got a really just amazingly long, long, long complex finish. It's lovely. What do you think, Harm?
It's what you said, dude. I love it.
Okay, moving on.
I have nothing to add.
Fantastic.
Could you drink this one?
I could drink this one. This is a nice one. It's nice and pleasant. I love the complexity of it. And
it doesn't have the sweetness of the last one. It's more nutty.
Right, yeah. right. But it's what I like about it, it doesn't have that peaty smokiness to it that a lot of scotches have. This is just very enjoyable.
Yeah, it's Balvenie. I mean, other than we compete, there's no peat.
Right. And it's just beautiful. You just sit back. You can just sit there and enjoy this one. That's, like I said, that candied orange peel comes through on that palate right away. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Just lovely. Well, we'll get back to Justin when we come back. Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Hey, and we're back, and we're discussing the Balvenie Ton 1509 Batch 7. What do you think about it, Justin?
Well, I like big sherry butts. I cannot lie. What's really interesting about this spirit,
right in the top,
is all the sweetness to it has kind of ginger notes to it. There's gingers, you know, got that acidic.
No one here has red hair.
I was going to say that Marianne note, though.
Yeah.
It's got that little bit of acidic bite to it, and that keeps it from being...
Keeps it fresh.
...overly sweet. Right. Each sip is like the first sip.
Oh, no. It's it's more, it's not sweet as in sugary sweet.
Right.
It's more sweet in the perception of it and in the nose.
Definitely not bourbon sweet.
No.
No.
No, 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 not even close. No. It's just, it's so well balanced.
Refreshing. I think that was the word I was searching for. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
All right. Well, we are going to rank the Balvenie Ton 1509 batch number 7, 5 sips.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're going to be moving on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Harm tell us about this one. So,
all right, sir. Thank you so much for having me here today to tell you about the Glendronach Kingsman Edition 1989 vintage. Is this, it's 100.2 proof, 50.1% ABV. It's a pricier one. We usually don't like to talk about pricing, but expect to drop $1,300 or more on this bottle. Expertly crafted by Master Blender, Dr.
And it's worth it.
In a unique collaboration with the Kingsman film franchise to mark the upcoming release of the Kingsman. An exceptional 1989 vintage inspired by the oldest bottle housed at the Glendronach Distillery, a 29-year-old whiskey bottled in 1913, just before the outbreak of World War One. Three friends had each purchased a bottle before leaving for war and vowing to open them together on their return. Tragically, only one of them returned home, and never having opened his bottle, his family later gifted the distillery, where it remained unopened and displayed in remembrance of fallen friends. So this is a tribute to that whiskey, inspired by that one, and the Kingsman Edition is matured in Oloroso sherry cask with a final maturation in Pedro Ximenez cask from Spain.
Oh, yes,
for
yes,
only
yes.
3,052 bottles available worldwide. The color is a deep mahogany. The nose is
the color is
raisins,
fantastic. I mean,
plums, figs, brown sugar, chocolate. Oh, my God. This thing just goes on. I can't even pick out all the tasting notes. I know you guys will pick out more than me, but this is what I got first. The palate is just tons of fruit. Orchard fruit, apples and pears, but that's totally overwhelmed by figs and dates. There's a pudding thing coming on, like a butterscotch.
Like a Christmas pudding.
Raisins, chocolate, tobacco, blackberries. There's so much in here that I'm getting, and there's things I can't really identify as well. This whiskey is complex, and the finish goes on and on. It's heavy. It's mouth-coating. Mm. Somebody talk while I'm tasting it.
Okay. This one here, the darkness of it is, you know, when you talk about dark whiskeys and stuff, I don't know that they get any darker than what this one is. It's beautiful dark color.
Black like my heart.
Oh, like your soul. Mm. Yes.
He doesn't have that. He sold that for beer money in college.
But, you know, this
one with his pride and self-esteem. What's wrong with you?
Come this on. Almost,
I didn't lose my self-esteem.
There's a pawn shop down on the main drag right by his dorm.
I lost
still
my
there.
Self-esteem in grad school.
Still
under
there.
It's just the soul.
But this one is reminds me a lot of some of the old wines that we've had at, you know, stuff because of that raisin that, you know, you
well,
get that
that's,
raisin.
Yeah, you're getting the PX on that.
Right, exactly. You're getting that on it and stuff. But it's
29
so it's,
years old and then, geez.
Can you tell he hangs out with me when we go out to dinner? It's like, oh, this kind of tastes like one of them old raisiny wines that you always order. Yes, it does.
Yeah, one of those damn things, you know,
oh,
darn
yeah.
things.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't complain when it comes to the table, though, trust me.
Well, no, when you're drinking something good, you don't want to complain about it.
You like to raise anything, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so.
So does Sue.
But this is just a.
What, this wine is from 1910? That's too young.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
But it's beautiful. I mean,
send
you know,
it back.
It really coats your mouth, and it really has a beautiful finish to it, which is nice. It's not it's not overpowering at all. And pleasant. I mean, just very pleasant. Justin?
I would summarize this spirit in one word, mouthfeel. Mouthfeel is better than any spirit I've ever had. It doesn't overcoat your tongue, doesn't undercoat your tongue. It delivers all the flavors in it, and just it's
Rachel
just
Berry's a genius.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Yeah.
God bless Rachel Berry. I've never had a chance to meet her, but I look forward to one day shaking her hand and thanking for all the amazing work she's done, especially over at Glendronach and some of the distilleries with Brown Foreman.
She took 2 years to go through Benriach.
Yeah.
And elevate them. She tasted everything they had.
Yeah. And look what's coming out of the place now. I mean, oh my gosh.
Tasted all the old stuff. Said, keep these, get rid of those.
Get rid of these. Keep these. Re-rack these. Okay, we're good to go. But yeah, it just, oh my gosh. The PX finish comes through. It's just, I mean, what more can you say? This is an absolutely fantastic whiskey. Just dried fruits, the raisininess that you get from the PX, that sweetness, the finish, it goes on and on and on. Most beautiful color. Fantastic whiskey. So we're going to be rating the Glendronach 1989 vintage Kingsman release, 5 sips.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Very few bottles of these. You can find one. If it's in your budget, you have to get it.
You can scream when you drink this, that's for sure.
That soundbite really summed it up.
So we are going to our next one, and we've been waiting all day for this one for Brent.
Thank you, Bob. We have
so excited.
Ardbeg Trebon, Batch 2, 92.4 proof. It's 46.2% ABV, and this is 19 years old. I like a 19-year-old one. That's nice. So this exquisite whiskey is inspired
by the law enforcement call. I'll give them your address.
Is inspired by the beautiful beaches of Trebon, pronounced Trayvon. I pronounced it wrong. So on Isla
Trayvon,
it's known locally as the Singing Sands. The tides ebb and flow, and the beach hums beneath your feet. But in the seemingly tame crystal waters, danger lurks as jagged volcanic rock pierces through the surf along the shore. This place, like the whiskey itself, is where calm meets storm. Matured in American oak and Oloroso sherry casks, Batch 2 is subtly different to the previous release of Trebon. This time around, the 19-year-old takes on an altogether more silky smooth character thanks to a higher proportion of first-fill bourbon casks alongside refills of sherry casks. So the color of this is really, really light. I mean, it's
a bright gold, man. It's not water. Well, look at this. That's gold. It's bright.
It's gold. It's really light. Yeah. Any way you look at it, it's light.
Well, compared to that last one we had, it looked like burnished mahogany.
Right. You know?
Oh, that's a lovely. It's a gold sort of pale forget straw.
Forget about that. Tell us about the nose, bro.
Oh, yeah. On the nose, the first thing you get is smoke. Smoke, smoke, and more smoke. But after a while, you got to let that smoke burn off a little bit. And then all of a sudden, you start getting layers to it. You just, like, next time you go in a little bit, you're getting something else. You're getting some, you get a little bit of that that salt spray, a little bit of a tea, a little bit of fennel, some leather, eucalyptus. You definitely get some eucalyptus in there. Yeah, you definitely get the eucalyptus. It's very nice. On the palate, I mean, but that smoke really turns you off at first. It's like, if you just go back to it.
No, it doesn't.
It turns you off.
It drives me off at first. But yeah,
I was excited when this bottle came open.
I mean, I had to go back at it to experience
When I turned the cap and you heard that thing crack, Harm made a noise like a six-year-old girl. Like in a register I can't make.
I saw the best Barbie doll ever.
Yeah.
No. On the palate, for me, the best way I can describe this on the palate is that I overcooked the pineapple on the grill, so it dried it out a little too much, and that's how I would describe it for drinking it.
The tropical notes, they're the pineapple.
Exactly. I mean, if I had to tell somebody, like, okay, what do you do? How does this taste? That's what it's going to be. Let me take another taste of this.
I know Brent is really not into this stuff, but oh my god. That's why we love having him.
But yeah, it does have a little lime to it as well. Lime on that and the pineapple. But it's just, yeah, that peat smoke on the palate, just, it dries my tongue out. It just dries my tongue. I'm like, I want to scrape my tongue.
We had drier bourbon.
I know that, but not like this. This is
not super woody dry. I think you just.
It's not a woody dryness. It just like dries it. I wanted like.
Phenols are freaking this boy out.
That's what it is. He's trying.
Dude, two years ago
we gave this to him. He'd be under the table weeping.
I was under the table weeping. You know. I still am.
Well,
what'd you think, Harm?
I I'm in love with this whiskey. I love Trayvon 19, the Fret Batch 1, but this blows it away.
This one's better.
Opinion.
This one's definitely better.
It's still, again, this is on one of the pricier ones. This is not, it's not a $1,000 whiskey. It's a $330 whiskey or whatever it is. And it's like a little bit more than last year's, but we've also got a 25% tariff since then. So that's, you know, chalk that up to the tariff pricing. But it's still amazing. I love this. They talk about, because, you know, Ardbeg underneath has got this sweetness. Even though they've got the really short stills, it's got the heavy oil. Ardbeg has the shortest stills in Islay. You got the heavy and oily whiskeys coming off that thing. It's just, the character's gorgeous. I don't want to go on and on. We've got another whiskey after this, so.
What do you think, Justin?
Go ahead, Justin, yeah.
So, initially, all I get was smoke and peat, but I let air get to it. I took like 7 or 8 really small sips to let that my palate acclimate to it. And then there is that sweetness underneath, and it's pretty good. And if you hate the peaty stuff,
it's not
just
for you.
Keep trying it, because you will learn to appreciate it, although it's hard to believe at the time.
It's a journey. Well, same thing with wine, you know, same thing with beer, you know, it's, I mean, you educate your palate and you get to that point, but fantastic whiskey. I agree with Harm. I think it's better than last year's Trayvon. And last year's Trayvon was fantastic.
And I added water to this just now. It gets milky and it gets better.
Yeah.
Mouth coating.
Well, we're going to be rating the Ardbeg Trayvon batch number 2. Five sips. In spite of Brent.
Protest.
All right. So our last one is also from Ardbeg, and it's the Ardbeg Wee Beastie. It's 90 proof, 45% ABV. It's the latest permanent expression to join the distillery's ultimate range. At just 5 years old, it's a feisty young creature with a formidable taste. With a mission to create the rawest, smokiest Ardbeg ever, the whiskey creators developed Wee Beastie, a tongue-tingling, beautifully smoky dram, which is the youngest Ardbeg they have ever made. I don't agree with what they're saying, because I honestly don't think it's nearly as peaty and smoky as even the Trayvon.
Yeah, the 19-year-old should be, you'd think that would be less peaty.
Because of the age.
As the age, the peat tends to be tame.
This is.
I was expecting this to kill me.
Yeah, this is black pepper. And honestly, we've had it open for a while, and more of the peat's actually blown off. It had more of a pine resiny kind of smokiness to it, but that's even toned down now with that with time. But it's got a deceptively almost sweetness to it on the nose.
Oh yeah.
Mm. And on the palate, I get the peat. I get that smokiness. I get the sort of medicinalness to it, but I get saltiness. It's like a salted chocolate caramel.
It's not as smoky as the others.
No,
I mean people often confuse peat and smoke, and usually they're linked because the peat's by burning the peat you get the smoke into the barley, and they measure by parts per million of phenol. But there's an earthy note from the peat and there's a smoky note. Yeah. This doesn't
Two
have
different
the
things.
Smoke; it has the earthiness.
Yeah.
And as for being raw. This is a beastie, but this is a small beastie.
Yeah.
This is not so raw.
It's a wee beastie.
It's a wee beastie.
Wee beastie.
It's an ankle biter of a beastie. So it's gorgeous. I got butterscotch on the front thing, on my first nose. Butterscotch and a tang of smoke, just a hint of it.
Yeah.
And that pine resin
It's that whole sweetness to the nose.
Yeah. It's so good, dude. But it's up to Brent. Come on, man. What do you think?
Okay. The nose, I got pine cones on the nose.
Okay.
And I was expecting, after reading the description, I was expecting to get smoke on the nose.
More smoke than, but this. Yeah. Is much
but
less.
I didn't get smoke on the nose. I mean, normally when somebody opens up a smoky scotch or something
from Islay,
I pick it up right away and stuff. And with this one here, I was like, no, I really don't get any smoke on the nose, but I do get it on the palate.
Yeah,
I do get smoke on the palate, a little bit of salt, the sea salt spray on the palate as well,
there's an umami note. It's that kind of umami protein meaty type thing.
Like a salami kind of thing. Salami,
like a greasy. Smoky, salty sausage.
Yeah, like a, right.
You didn't make that sound good.
How did that not sound good? What word did I use did not sound good there? I mean, what do you... Oh, well, to vegans, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Justin, this one freak you out too?
No. This was really, really good. I mean, for a young whiskey from anywhere, it's got the smoke gives it like a really good complexity to it. It's pretty outstanding.
Well, me and Harm were talking about it. Iowa is a very different beast when it's very young versus when it's very old.
Right.
Yeah. It completely changes its character. I mean, I've had younger than this at cask strength and it definitely, I mean, you can literally take it and it's an entirely different whiskey, but you know, great stuff. So four sips for the Ardbeg Wee Beastie. Well done, and welcome to the permanent range.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so we didn't mention this before, but Ardbeg added two new things to permanent range. That the Wee Beastie is the 5-year-old, and the Trayvon the 19-year-old. Every year there's a new 19-year-old.
Yep.
So this is the second one.
Yeah, so fantastic stuff. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap the subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or whoever the lady is that talks back to you on your phone or in your head, like Harm.
Yeah.
Play podcast Sips, Suds, and Smokes.
My wife doesn't do it every time I ask her. She says no.
We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. And our daily tasting notes flat on Twitter every day at Sips, Suds, Smokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on those social media platforms. We're also on Instagram as well at Sips, Suds, and Smokes or at Made Man Bob.
Can I get the bearskin rug now, dude? I don't want to go home.
No.
I'm just going to lie down.
Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode. If you're listening to us online, that's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback. I want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you, Brent, for coming for your favorite Smoky Petey whiskey.
Oh, yes. Can somebody give me that tongue scraper?
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you so much. Great day in the basement.
I don't have to thank him. Look at him. He's
got this smiley look.
We're just smiling, sitting here so happy.
Ear to ear smile. I'm not leaving this whiskey.
So happy right now.
I'm not going to work.
Yeah, it's a good day. I mean, oh my gosh. There wasn't a clunker on the table, boys.
Not at all. Thank you, Bob. Wonderful. Wonderful being here today.
So, and thank you to the fine people who sent us these samples. So keep sending them, please. Send more. Send plenty. Send more Trayvon. Send more
Wee Beastie. I mean, you know, I love you, Dr. Bill. Bigger samples.
Bigger samples.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.